If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn with me. We're going to actually go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And the title of this message is, He Doesn't Want Anyone Lost. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to follow along with me. If you got your iPad or your iPhone or your Bible, whatever it is, and to look up that passage with me. And this morning, I just want to share with you from my heart. One of my favorite authors is Ed Silvoso, and I love to read the things that he's right. You know why? Because he believes that an entire city can be saved. He believes that an entire nation can be saved. He believes that an entire nation can be transformed. And can I tell you that's biblical? That's scriptural. Because we find in God's word, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And I have to ask you, even in the midst of our culture that we live in right now, we know all the problems that we have in our culture today, different situations, different circumstances that we face, how many of you still believe that an entire city can be saved? All right? Can you even believe that your entire business can be saved? Or an entire school can be saved? I do. I truly do. And we cannot get away from that. I text my friend Eldred Sawyer this morning. You know, I text him and I just asked him simply, and I could have easily asked Ricky Joe this, but I said, Eldred, what is the number of your zip code that you're believing the Lord for in your area? Because if I get it right, he's believing for his entire zip. Now you tell me now, but I believe that he's believing for his entire zip code to be transformed. And what a vision that we would believe for our entire neighborhood, that we would believe for our entire street, that we would believe. And he came back and he told me, 75217 and 75228. Does that sound familiar to anybody? 75217 and 75228? That's Pleasant Grove. He's believing God for Southeast Dallas, for them to come to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that it can happen. And we should proclaim it, and we should declare it, and we should believe it. So this morning, this message is along those lines. And as you look at this scripture, and I went ahead and went to the Message translation for it this morning. I'm using the Message, and I'm using the English Standard Version. But in the Message translation, it says that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. In the Message translation, it says he is restraining himself. You know what that says? God is holding himself back. Now, can you picture that for a moment? He hadn't come back yet. Things are happening in this world, and he's holding himself back. Back from what? Back from his judgment? Back from his coming for us? And he will come for us, but he's holding himself back. He's restraining himself on account of you. Now, you can take that one, every one of us, personally. All right? Because he loves us individually. That's why you know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's why they say, you know, they say you can put your name right there for the world, because he loves you. He loves Rosie. He loves Marie. He loves Maria. Every one of us individually. Tom, Ricky Joe, all of us. And so he says, on account of you holding back the end, holding back the inevitable, holding back the ultimate, because he is coming back. And his judgment is with him because he doesn't want anyone lost. And he's giving everyone space and time to change. That's where you can put there, repent, because that's what repent means. Someone says that they come to Jesus and they haven't changed, they have not come to Jesus. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Because we have to understand, when somebody comes to Jesus, changes take place. Because then there comes an understanding that he is Lord, he is God, he is King, and we are to serve him. So there must be changes. Unless you think that your life has been perfect all along until you've come to Christ, which that's not for any of us. None of us have been that way. We've all lacked in repentance and needed to turn to him. And so when we come to the Lord, we come to him with repentance, with change. Here's the next scripture verse, Matthew 28:19. And you know this one, the Great Commission, 28 And it says, and Jesus came, this is the English Standard Version, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you hold that one strong. Because in my understanding, that leaves the devil nothing. All right? Amen? Agreed? You think about that. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. But Jesus says, how much authority? All authority. So if all authority has been given to Jesus, how much does that leave the devil? Nothing except for what you give him. If you give him space, he'll take it. All right? So all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, that's what I want to talk about this morning, making disciples of all nations and talking about how do we do that. All right? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. How do you baptize a nation? How do you disciple a nation? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And boy, I tell you, I'm so glad that's there. Because we live in a world that follows many gods, but there's only one true God, and that is the God that we understand to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If somebody's following some other God that doesn't have anything to do with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's a false God. All right? Plain and simple. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, and aren't you glad that part is in there? And behold, I am with you. Makes me feel good. That as I'm going, he's with me. As we're discipling, he's with me. As we're baptizing, he's with me. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've opened your word and receive of your word, minister to our hearts your word by your Spirit. And we welcome change. Transform us and make us to what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we use these two scriptures. I'll give you another one. I didn't write this one down. I didn't put it up there. But it's Acts 1:8. That's part of the Great Commission. That's part of the Great Commission where it says, and I give you power. Right? Jesus said, I give you power. All right? To be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? So Jerusalem is where you are right now. But that's like saying in Mesquite and in the Metroplex and in Texas and in all of the United States and in the entire world. Okay? Just like that. So do you believe that an entire city can be transformed? Yes. Do you know he's doing it? He's transforming cities. Do you know he's transforming Mesquite? He's changing Mesquite. All right? We must believe that. Now, I'm going to take you through a little bit here, and then I want to share with you just a quick story. How do you disciple a nation? And not just individuals. And that's important to know because, first of all, we need to define a nation and what a nation is. We live in the United States of America. There are many nations around the world, but a nation is an ethnos. It's a people group. It's a group of people. So then to understand, it's a multicultural people group touched by its economy and education and government. Now, that's just a simple little definition I put there, okay? And number two, and we need to begin the process. In other words, engage. Can I tell you this morning, don't be afraid to engage. Don't be afraid to engage. Because we've already been told the Lord is with us. All right? So we talk about engage. You got to engage yourself. You got to engage your family. You got to engage your neighbors. You got to engage your schools and businesses and government. Okay? Now we're going to touch a little bit more on this in just a few minutes. All right? But we need to understand what nation is. Okay? So the second question here, in discipling nations, we have a threefold advantage as believers. And what is it? Can I tell you, I'm so grateful that we know the true God, who the God is. It's not out of pride. It's not out of cockiness. But it's out of the Lord saving us. And it's out of forgiveness. And it's out of grace. Because all of us, we understand that without the Lord, we are nothing. So there's a threefold advantage here that we have. Aren't you glad you're a believer? Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad? It's not religion. Aren't you glad Jesus is not religion? You know, in John 14, when it says, let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm getting ready to die. They're going to take me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. And he's been walking with his disciples. He's been with his disciples. And can you imagine what that did to them when they heard that? Maybe their heart began to be filled with sorrow. What do you mean you're getting ready to leave us? What do you mean? Then Jesus says, don't be troubled about it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, he told them, they're going to kill me, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, they couldn't grasp that. They couldn't understand that, all right? But I want to tell you, that's the reason I follow him. Because he's the only one as a true leader that said, they'll take me, they'll crucify me, and I'll be buried, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And that's what happened. Why do we have a threefold advantage? Number one, because Jesus is alive. He is alive. You know where he is right now? He's at the right hand of his Father making intercession for us. He's got real scars. Real scars. You'll be able to see them one day. Face to face. The scars in his hand, the scars in his feet, the scars that pronounced his love for us. That's number one. That's a big advantage. It's huge. Number one, Jesus is alive. Number two, his message gives the answers to problems that afflict our entire world. Think about it. You carry the answer. No matter what it is, that ultimately it's Jesus Christ. He's the answer to your finances. He's the answer to your work. He's the answer to your family, to your marriage. He's the answer. There's no other really true answer. He is the answer. And to all the problems that we ever have, Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, man, you're a fanatic about this Jesus, aren't you? I can't help it. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. Without Jesus, I'm dead. Without Jesus, I'm destined for hell. An eternity without God. Without Jesus, I can't help it. Just like you can't help it. You come to Christ, you realize if it wasn't for Christ, number three, the world is now clamoring for his message. And I'm going to tell you, this is true. People want to hear the message. They want to know. We're living in a time right now where we're experiencing those birth pangs all around the world. Jesus said it would be like this before he comes back. And truly it is. People are searching for an answer. And we carry the answer. All right? Number three, so it's a threefold advantages. Here's the next frame. So then what do we need to do as believers? Here it is. Number one, realize that we are called and empowered to disciple nations, and we will succeed if we only try. Acts 1:8 again, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Isn't it interesting that word witness in the Greek is the same word where we get the word martyr? And you know, a martyr is one that gives his life. And you shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's our mission. We go forth with his power. Number two, we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that is so true. Our message is to preach the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Who's the king of your life? Good question. Who's the king of our nation? Who's the king of this world? You see? Who's the king? And it's the Lord Jesus. Amen, somebody? You sound like you live in an entirely different world. I live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, we do live in our nation, the United States of America, but remember I told you earlier, this is not my home. 2100 Timberland is not my home. That's not my home. That's my dwelling place. That's where I stay, you know. But there is a real home that has streets of gold, that has pearly gates, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness. Think about that, all right? Number three, follow the Great Commission and the vision. Number four, engage, all right? Here's the next one. Vision is the key, and it must be generational. Think about this. This message of the Lord Jesus, how long was it that Jesus was here walking the earth? Over 2,000 years ago. Think about that. He was walking on the face of this earth, and it's gone from generation to generation to generation, and it has not been lost. And guess what? It'll continue to go. Now look at this. Vision is the key and must be generational. A vision that goes beyond the bearer. A vision that goes beyond circumstances. A vision with ultimate objectives to bless others. And a vision that includes those yet to come. Now, that's generational. You think about it. Tom and June, they give it to Tim. Tim, they give it to Matt. Matt, he's giving it to Ray Lee. And Ray Lee is old enough already. You might say, well, Ray Lee's not old enough. Ray Lee is what, 4 months old now? She's 4 months old now, and she's old enough. Isn't it amazing, the human brain? That they can play praise music with Ray Lee there, and I'm going to tell you, something transforming happening. With a four-month-old. So Tom and June give it to Tim. Tim gives it to Matt. Matt gives it to, and it's generational of what the Lord gives us. So we must understand vision is the key. Here's the next one. And we must engage. We must engage. We've got to engage in regards to this discipling nations. Three different areas I have here. The place of education, the place of business, and the place of government. Now, this is really neat because in the place of education, we're already seeing it here in Mesquite. 33 elementary schools, 8 junior high schools, 5 high schools, just in our Mesquite Independent School District. And there's the higher educational learning. We must engage. You know why I want to tell you we must engage? Because I promise you right now in higher education learning, in some of the great universities of our nation, and some of the junior colleges even, people are already engaging to make these institutions anti-Semitic. So, you hear what I'm saying? Some folks that want to go to a university or they want to go to a higher place of learning and they're pro-Israel. They're pro-Israel, pro-Jewish people. People want to kill them. People want to hate them. People want to not let them on the... You cannot let these people on the campus. They can't come here. And then they forget about all of our rights that we have as citizens, the freedom of speech. Can I tell you, it's happening right now, and it's happening subtly right now underneath us where people don't even know. From coast to coast, just like it is around the world, European universities, and again, being more and more not pro-Israel, but anti-Israel. Can I remind you, please continue to pray for Israel. Continue to pray for Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In education, already we're seeing the changes. We're seeing, and I'm going to share this again with you because I want you to see it. 9 elementary schools with Beach Club. A similar type of vacation Bible school that's going into the elementary schools once a week, right now, through the whole entire year, an after-school Bible club. And kids are coming. It's happening. There are already 9 more principals that want it. Okay? No, I'm sorry. 7 more principals. That'll make 16. That'll make half of the 33. I know 16 and 16 is 32, but let me say half, okay? 33 elementary schools. How about the junior high? And now, both Ricky Joe and myself, we're going over here to Barry. But there's a guy in that group already that wants to go to Terry Middle School. And we're having men of honor and ladies of honor, Bible clubs. This is discipleship material for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Now, growing up from the background that I've had in my school, my learning, I grew up in the elementary school in the 60s. When prayer was taken out of school, when the commandments were taken out of the school, when the Bible was being taken out of the school, all of this that was happening because humanism was coming up very strong. Look what that did in the 60s. Look what that did in the 70s. You remember all these things that were beginning to swell up even more and more, 40s, 50s, 60s, and all swelling up even more and more. Now there's a change. Now principals are saying, we want this in our schools. Now in junior high, they're saying, we want this in our schools. We must engage the place of education. Number two, the place of business. We must engage. We need to ask the Lord, all right, Lord, how do we engage the marketplace? You see, this is the nation. The nation is touched by its education, by its economy, and by the business. The nation is touched. And if we want to disciple nations, we must disciple schools, we must disciple the marketplace, and we must disciple the government. All right? We must reach out. In other words, we come to the realization that we're not just church here in these four walls. We're church wherever we go. So whenever, when Ricky Joe and myself, we get over there, now we're in a different zip code over here, all right? 149 right here and 181 over there. We're in the 181. And so over there, it's Ricky Joe and myself. The Bible says we're two or more gathered together in my name. There I am in their midst. So Ricky Joe and myself, and we're right there. And guess what? We've got a principal over there that loves God. At Terry Middle School, there's a principal over there that loves God. Now, there are some principals that don't want Beach Club, but God can touch their hearts. And then we get ready for the high schools. Do you get it? Then the marketplace. We can have church in the marketplace. Please remember, the church was birthed in the marketplace. Remember what the Apostle Paul was? He was a missionary, but what else was he? He was a tent maker. He was his own tent maker and he had his business. And so here we understand the tent making and that business that's going on. And in the marketplace, we move into that place wherever we can to engage. I love it. You can do it anywhere. My latest examples I can give you in illustrations is when June was in the hospital. It's a place of business. Baylor, Scott, and White Medical Center in Sunnyvale. You think they need Jesus over there? We need Jesus everywhere. We need him at Walmart. We need him at Kroger's. We need him at Baylor, Scott, and White. And even over there, we're getting ready to take June and taking her into ICU where they're going to put her on life support. And so we're going into the waiting room. And guess who's there? One lady is there, and she's crying. She's weeping. And here the Tyler family, they're going into that room. And we're all of us in together in that room. And guess what's the next thing that happens? Tim, knowing that his mother is getting ready to be put into ICU and all this getting ready to take place in there, he goes to that lady who happens to be the sister of a young man who's a teacher over at Eastfield Junior College that's fighting for his life. And he went, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? You have someone in there right now? Yes, my brother. His name is Ram. Ramiro Gutierrez. His name is Ram. Can you pray? Yes. And he prayed for her right then. You see it? We were having church right there in the waiting room. We were having church in the ICU. We were having church in June's room. Brother Tom, building relationship. I mean, that's all about who he is. Building relationship, and that's what we need to do in reaching out to others for Christ. Building relationship with Philip. Building relationship with this nurse. Building relationship with this doctor. Building relationship. Now, Tim prayed for that sister. That man's decision was to leave ICU and go home and die. Since then, he prayed for his life. He's a young man. Since then, that man has changed his mind. He's ready to fight for his life. They're getting ready, and they're going to do chemotherapy treatments. You see what prayer does? And so he reaches out to this sister and prays for her in the ICU room. We had church in the marketplace. See, somebody said, how do you see this? How do you explain this? Discipling nations. That's discipling nations in the marketplace. In the education and in the government. Can I tell you, God is moving in our government. And I ask you to continue to pray for me. The only reason that I'm in there right now is because God opened the door for me to be in there. That's the only reason. I had people come into me and ask me, Pastor Dan, would you consider running for city council? And we didn't see that coming. Not one bit. We didn't see it coming. And I had four different city leaders come to talk to me And we need you to run. Will you run? This was last year in December. And I told him, I said, well, let me take it to the Lord. Let me take it to my wife. Let me take it to my family. We're going to pray. And then I'll do what God says. And we did just that. I ran once before, you remember, and I lost. But this time, it's like God just opened the door. And so I'm in there right now. I'm in there. And only God knows why. But I carry His kingdom with me. I carry the Lord. You carry the Lord with you. Can I tell you, by the way, in the words of Edsel Voso, he says, He's given you a toolbox. He's given you a toolbox. And you know what your tools are? You know what you have in that box? You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power to bind strongholds. How many of y'all know that's important? That's where the enemy attacks. He attacks in the mind. And you have the power, the authority to bind strongholds. And then, along with that, you have the power for extraordinary miracles. I would call that a miracle that Tim prayed for that lady and her brother still alive. I would call that a miracle. God wants to work miracles, all right? Let's keep going here. Place of education, place of business, place of government. So as a believer, the best decision that you can make, and we're getting ready to wrap this up because we're going to pray. The best decision that you can make, and we're talking about discipling, and this is God's commission. This is the Lord's commission. Go ye therefore into all the world, and teach all nations, disciple the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Invest the rest of your life and the sum of all your resources into discipling nations. Discipling nations. I think one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story about Zacchaeus. And the little song that we learned growing up about Zacchaeus, and you know that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed his way, what happened? He looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. How many of y'all remember singing that when you were little? You remember that? I love that story. Because it's the story of a short man that was rich and loved to rip, and he would rip people off. He was a tax collector. He would rip people off. So all of a sudden, he's in the entrance of Jericho, and Jesus is coming in, and you remember the story, and there's a crowd that's around the Lord. It's like a huge parade. There's a crowd, and here comes little short Zacchaeus, okay, Danny DeVito. You know, I can't help but think of Danny DeVito, you know. Here comes little short Zacchaeus. He would have made a great, great Zacchaeus. Danny DeVito coming around, and he's looking. He's trying to find a place where he can get to see Jesus because Jesus is coming in, and he wants to see. Now, you got to picture this for a moment because Zacchaeus, he's walking and moving, and he's trying to find a place. Now, who do you think there in that area would want to give him a space? Nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. They didn't want to be around him. This guy's a thief. He's ripping people off with taxes. He's charging them more than they should. All right? So he's looking for his place, and he's trying to find a place. Nobody liked the guy. So what did he finally do? He found a tree. And you can picture Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito just kind of getting up to close to the tree and climbing up in the tree. And finally, he can see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. All of those folks wanted to see Jesus because they heard about Jesus and they heard about what Jesus was doing, making the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Who is this man, this miracle man that's here among us now? And here he comes. And as Jesus is coming closer by, he's already set up in the tree, and Jesus is coming, and then all of a sudden, Jesus looks up in the tree and he calls him out by his name. Can I tell you, Jesus knows you by your name? He calls him out by his name, and he calls him down. Come down. Come down, Zacchaeus, because I'm going to your house. So here he is, Danny DeVito, coming down the tree. He comes down, Zacchaeus comes down, and what do you think the people were doing then when they saw him coming down and they heard Jesus invite him to his house? What do you think the people were doing then? They were murmuring. They were grumbling. They were jealous. Yeah. I can't believe this is happening. Who does he think he is? And now this one's going to go to his, Jesus is going to go to his house. Doesn't he know he's a thief? Doesn't he know he steals from people? And he's going to his house. We don't know what all happened, but they went to his house. And they had a talk. Something happened. But Zacchaeus was changed. He was changed. And when he comes out of all this whole thing, you know what he says? He says, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. He used to be all about ripping people off. Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've ripped anybody off, I'll pay them four times more than what I took from them. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. For I have come to seek and save that which was lost. So guess what Jesus saved that day? And I say, what Jesus? Who Jesus? Jesus saved Zacchaeus, but Jesus also saved his business. Because he's connected to his business. The marketplace. Do you remember years ago, not too long ago for any of us, but years ago people used to have businesses in their homes. They do their sewing out of their homes. They do boot repair out of their homes. They would have mom and pop grocery stores out of their homes. Anybody remember that? And that's the way business was back then. Business was connected into the home. And so if you would picture this for a moment, Jesus saved Zacchaeus, but also saved his home, saved his business. Now he was going to do business according to Jesus' way. The kingdom, which included what? Making sure you do business in a right way, with righteousness. And then also, the heart of Jesus, give to the poor. Give to the poor. Reach out to the poor. And Jesus saved his business as well. Can I tell you that before the fall, there was work? God had given Adam and Eve, had given them work to do. Do you remember? They had the garden. There to work the garden and all of this. God wants to restore all these things. You believe God wants to save businesses? I asked you if you believe God wants to save schools. You cannot have a business without people. You cannot have a school without people. You cannot have a government without people. The only reason we're all here is because we're in a city where there's people and there's businesses to provide for you. So Jesus came for the salvation of it all. Now, I don't want to get too deep into that because somebody said, well, make this practical for me. What can I do right now? Can I tell you what you can do? If Cynthia was here right now. See, Cynthia, she works at Florence Elementary School. She can take the kingdom and move around there with the kingdom of God. All right? Every one of us, Debbie Epps Realty. Marie, the place, Las Colinas, where you're working right now, right? Dental manager, Michael. Dental manager where he is. Every one of us have a place where we can carry it. And somebody says, well, how do you do this, Pastor Dan? How do you do it? I'm going to make it very simple. Just like Jesus showed us, the way the Lord showed us. And here it is. And with this, I'm going to close. Bless the loss. Fellowship with the loss. Meet the felt need of the loss, and then proclaim the gospel to the loss. That simple. In that order. Don't start number one proclaiming the gospel. Just bless people. You know what I would love to do? I'd love to see Ignited more and more already. And we just to be able to do this quickly. Adopt schools all around our area. Adopt businesses all around our area. Adopt our government places all around our area with prayer. And different people say, I'll take Barry, I'll take Terry, I'll take Agnew, I'll take Florence, I'll take... And all of a sudden, that's their spot, and they start praying over that area. Or the neighborhoods. You know what would happen? Transformation. The Lord would start opening doors. And it's as simple as starting by blessing. Blessing your family, blessing your neighbors, blessing your street. And it's real, and it works. Okay? It's transformation. How many of you believe a city can be saved? Jesus said that none should perish. Peter, that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And as we come to this moment, Lord, we realize it's you and us here in this place. You are here with us, and we honor your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. Right now, we've come to this moment in our service, O Lord, where we just believe you for anyone here in this place that just needs you, needs that salvation of just coming to you. And God, we just pray this morning. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you, God, Lord, I thank you again. We know June is with you. So many that have gone before us, O Lord, and that just like the author of Hebrews that says, knowing that we have such great a cloud of witnesses around about us, so many that have gone before her, and we're here right now, and you're concerned about every individual. So I do pray. I pray that if anyone's here, Lord, that doesn't know you, that they can come to know you today. And I thank you, God, this is not about religion. This is not about doctrine. This is not about a specific teaching, but it's all about you, the person of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, that they took you and they nailed you to a cross, and on that cross you declared, "It is finished." And with those words, Lord, beginning to pour out your forgiveness to all of mankind, because you died for everybody. So that anyone wants to come to you, they can come to you freely. So right now, Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment, I want to tell you this morning, the greatest decision you could ever make in your life is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. There's no greater decision. And if you're here this morning and you've never done that, but you say, you know, I need to do it. I don't know what all this is about, but I do realize I need Jesus. And that's all we're offering here. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. It's Jesus all by himself that brings salvation. Some people say, well, don't I have to do this? What do I have to do? Do I have to do this? All you have to do is just come to him. It's Jesus. And if you're here, you say, I want to invite him in my life. I invite you to do that. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is there anyone here that says, that's me, I need Christ? Just raise your hand wherever you are. Anyone here? Just slip it up. You can slip it up quietly and then quietly bring it back down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And then this morning, as we've been talking about the nations, talking about discipling, talking about engaging, Father, I just pray for us as a congregation. You're opening up doors right now. You're bringing transformation to Mesquite, Lord. I see it with the schools that are opening up to the gospel. I see it with the marketplace being infiltrated more and more with believers, oh Lord. Father, the way you're moving, oh God. Father, I thank you for those believers that we have in government places and among the police, among the fire. Lord, a Sunday school teacher who's our fire chief. Lord, a chairman of the deacons who's our police chief. Lord, I thank you. You're moving in those areas. So, Father, I just ask you right now, and just receive this prayer. Lord, show us the way that each one of us can engage individually, wherever we are, that we can engage. And I thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.